The thought that I have on my heart today is much more. Not much less, but much more. And that song, as we were praying, came to my mind so forcibly, along with several other songs that have come to my mind. And I want to encourage us today to have a new language, to think of the much mores, not the much lesses, but the much mores. I believe if we would look at our language, I know the Lord has been challenging me. When you pray for and expect more. Don't pray less, but pray more and expect more. From God. I believe God wants to bless us today as His people to get out of a rut that we can get in so easily. And He wants to help and increase our faith to pray for much more. Much more. There's another song that came to my mind while we were praying. It says, I don't have much money, Lord, but I have You. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. There's shoes on my feet. There's food on my table. Shoes on my feet. I just thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. This morning, I believe we need to bless the Lord for all that He has done for us today. Bless Him for His provisions. Bless Him for answering prayer for us. Let's be the people of much more, not much less. Thought about those 5 loaves and 2 fishes. There was a sacrifice of a young person or a family. I'm not sure the Bible is real clear, but I believe there was a sacrifice made. We got any food around here? And somebody said, yeah, I've got some. That's all we need is a little sacrifice. And that little sacrifice was made enough to feed thousands of people. Yeah. Y'all just sit down. We've got plenty. We got everything we need here. Now everybody just sit down. We found a little sacrifice here. And I'm going to just show you. He didn't say that, but we can see today that little sacrifice that was given that was so small. It was all they had. It was everything they had, and they gave it. And the Lord said, that's all I need. Just give me a little sacrifice and I'll feed thousands of people with it. Yeah. Much more. Much more. God wants to bless us today. Much more in little ways. Does He want to enrich our lives and to make things real for us. I'm convinced of that today. That little sacrifice that was made fed thousands of people. And I'm convinced today with the little sacrifice, God can help us too. Let's look in the book of Psalms. Oh, there's so many encouraging scriptures. I appreciate the Lord today. The 8th Psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him? For Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the work of Thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Oh, how wonderful. What is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou hast visited him? This morning we are blessed beyond measure. When we think about what God has done for us, He has been mindful of us. He has been mindful of us. Oh, I believe this morning God wants us to be aware that He is real, that He is near to us, that He is close to us, that He answers prayer, and that He can take the little things in our life that look insignificant, that seem like they're nothing, and He can make something out of them. My wife and I were in Russia one time, and we met this man that was in the Vietnam War, and he was a pilot, and he was telling about how he was running out of fuel, and there were some enemy planes, two or three of them, that was chasing him, and he was getting critically low on fuel. And when he realized that he was not going to make it across the zone, he was not going to get back in safe territory, instead of just gunning it and doing all that he could, he turned back around and he gave chase to those other planes. And he gave just a little bit more of what he had. And when he did run out of fuel and he ejected out of the plane, his shoulders was dislocated. He was, as he went up, he was going so fast it tore his sockets in his shoulders out, and he had no control over his arms. But as he was coming down, somehow he managed to get the cord, or he said there was a higher power that helped him to be able to get the cord and pull for his parachute. And he was going down, he was out over the ocean, and somehow, some way, his life vest, he was able, with just a little strength, to get a hold of that and inflate. And you know, just the little that he had, his life was saved. The little that he had. And you know, this morning I'm convinced that each of us have a little reserve that God is counting on you to use. And it's so insignificant, you'll overlook it. And you, if we're not careful, those little things that we have, and God is, He's got them in our life, and He is wanting to get glory from our life, from those little things. And you think, it's useless. What's it going to do? I don't see how this can be profitable. But don't you see that God is mindful of us? And He is looking for some of those little things in our life that seem so small. And that's what He wants to get the glory from. You see, what you're capable in doing, the Lord knows that. He knows you're smart. He knows you can do this, and He knows you can do that. And sometimes He'll let us flounder and go around, and we'll go through life sometimes with some wasted years. But then there's that part of you that you're counting insignificant, and you're thinking, this is never going to be valuable or profitable. How could this ever work out? He said, that's a part I want to use. That's what I want to do because I'm mindful of you. And I care about you. I want to encourage us this morning. When we look at the majesty, the wonderful things that God's created, let's not forget that He also created us. And He has a way of doing things with us that it goes beyond our abilities. Goes way beyond what we can do. I felt some challenges here lately from the Lord, and Lord, why don't you pick on somebody that can do stuff? I mean, look at me. I can't. There's just no way I can do those kind of things. I'm thankful I have a good wife and the Holy Spirit. Those two keep me going. I want to encourage us today. I believe that sometimes we can sit in meetings, we can come to church, and we can become so familiar with the Word of God and so familiar with things, our surroundings, they lose their meaning. Some things lose their meaning. We become dull. And the Lord is saying there's life all around you. There's things all around you. I want to use your weakest thing. I want to use things that you think are dead in your life to bring much more fruit out of your life. The things you think you're incapable of doing, that's what I'm going to work in. Matthew 7:11, could we read there? I have just a few scriptures this morning that just seem like they have been on my heart that I have to share them with you today. Matthew 7:11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? I love this word. How much more? If you're able to give good things and you can see needs in your children and you can see little things they desire and you're able to help them, can you not turn this around and think you have a heavenly Father that is looking down in your life and he is concerned about your movements? He's concerned about your fruit you're producing in your life, and he wants to bless you with much more. How much more? This is not something that is misinterpreted here. The word is how much more. Much more. Not just in small amounts. Not just in small quantities, but how much more? I was thinking how bashful and timid I used to be and inferior. I felt I just had a terrible complex, and I still have to work on that. We needed to borrow a wagon from a neighbor, and me and the neighbor girl, we decided we'd ask the lady, the Hartungs, they lived across the street, would ask them to borrow their wagon. We had it all figured out. Okay, if I knock on the door, I'll say this and you say that. So here we deal. We split it all up, knocked on the door, and I said, we just wanted to know, and I looked over to her, if we could borrow your wagon. And that lady looked, wonder why, okay. Sure. That's the way we did things. Yeah, I grew up on 48th Street. That's how we did things. How small. Sometimes, and we carry those traits into our spiritual life. We carry things into our adult life. Thank you. We take those things into our adult life and make a mess of things. We really do. Instead of having the how much more and looking to God and asking him to increase our... Sometimes we take those little things into our life and we carry it in there and it doesn't do much good. It's not very profitable. It's not very profitable. Now you imagine what happens when you have a pastor now that's grew up with this small thinking. And I'm going to put myself. Now you're trying to lead people, and I'm trying to help people. You know what? I've got to get myself out of that much less, and I've got to be thinking much more. When I look at people, I have to think, not because one of them's head is shaved, like I had this lady that came into class, half her head was bald and the other half had hair. And I tried not to look on that very long. Because when I did, I had to stop and think again. She's got hair. And when she turns this way. And I tried not to think about that. And you know, I began to think about how much more. Now wait a minute. You take this same woman and you let her get a hold of this gospel. How much more? How much more? What can they be? You know, I have a neighbor that was, he was a zone commander for the highway patrol. And one day, he's a very kind-hearted man. He picked up a person that was hitchhiking and said, where you been? Oh, I've been in Creek County Jail. And he said, well, you ever hear of a guy that goes at Jamesville? Yeah, I've been to one of his classes. Yeah, and he had a good report. Well, You know, if you think about it, sometimes some of our weak efforts, again, we never know what's going to happen. We never know. Your inadequacies and my inadequacies, sometimes the Lord can use our very best and He can do something with them. What I'm saying is when we look at people and we see hopelessness and we see their plight in life and we see their decisions and where they got themselves, we sometimes think, much less. They're going to end up just a ward of the state. They're going to end up a life of... they're going to be a career criminal. But when God gets a hold of them, there's something totally different. The how much mores, folks, are seen through the unseen. I hope that makes sense. The language of the unseen is much more. The language of the seen is much less. What I'm saying, sometimes we... if we look at people and have faith and we say, "What? Look what God can do with that poor piece of humanity. Look what He can do with that person that has bipolar disorders and they have addictions and they have all kinds of hang-ups in their life. Look what God can do with them." The much more you see looks more than just through the eyes of the physical. We look and see beyond that. The much more has to be the unseen. And sometimes with our children, we have to look beyond some of their ways. We have to say, "Lord, I know what You can do. I know what You're capable of doing with my family. I know what You're capable of doing." And we look at the unseen. Abraham looked at the unseen when he left his city, he looked at the unseen and he said, "I'm following and looking for that city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking beyond what I can see, the dust and the familiar horizons. I'm looking at the unseen." The much more language comes from looking at the unseen. It's not the things were visible. Folks, I see sometimes we get so comfortable in the scene. And we're just like little children. And we go about from one place to another where we feel comfortable walking. And when we, if we're not careful, I'd say this with love in my heart. If we're not careful, we're going to stay in our own little pattern. And we're going to kind of miss this much more. We're going to stick to things that we're familiar with. And this is sometimes danger when we think about going forward and possessing the land. It has to be people that has a much more vision. It has to be people that can say, "We can do this by God's help." If we get stuck in the familiar and we stay in that place, I tell you, we'll never get anywhere. We'll just pretty much stay, "Oh, this is the way. We'll just keep doing it. It's fine. It's fine. Be comfortable." But I've noticed how God many times takes us levels that we're not comfortable with. God help us today. Another song. I want to take this time, just, I wrote the words down by Rusty Goodman. I love to hear this man sing. The title is "How Much More." If He knows when a robin falls from his nest and He grieves when He sees it die, if He kisses the rose with the morning mist, I wonder how much more does He really love you and I. If He cares for the lilies in an open field and He caresses each petal with dew, if He acknowledges a tree when the winds make it kneel, how much more does He love me and you? If He takes out the tide, turns the desert from its dry, and carves out the mighty rivers to the sea, just to give a little brim one more place to swim, then I wonder how much more does He love you and me. if He's prepared a place for all that has been, I've been told and believe it's true, He's preparing me a place I cannot comprehend. That's how much He really loves me and you. How much more than a fragrant rose that He gives life in the spring? Or does He love me less than a little bird in a nest that never sows, yet He soars on the wing? If He can speak a simple word and calm an angry wind, and peace be still can calm a rolling sea, then He can speak peace be still to the storms that's within. That's how much He really loves me. Oh, that is such a beautiful song. And when I think of the how much mores in life, the how much more does He care for me, how much more is He concerned. I remember one time I was going through an awful trial. I think now that was a mild one compared to some I have today. But this one was pretty tough, I thought. And I was just going back and forth. And I really thought I'd been like John and leaned on his breast. And he said, oh, you've got to, spoke to me, and there's a place on my breast you've never even touched. Oh, it tells me the how much more is that He has got so much more, so much more. Folks, let's not get stuck in the thinking. Lord, I've exhausted everything. I know I can't go any further. My dear father-in-law is sitting right here. Took an old car that got run off the road in an old van, jacked that thing up in sand, put a rope around the tire and put it in gear and got a bunch of men together and pull started that old van and kept going. How much more? You have a little rope in the car, you got a jack? We don't need a battery. Oh, I remember taking out of here one time with Dad, and all things were so mixed up. I got in the car and I remember he closed the trunk and he had this little cat or a little toy thing, and he hung part of it out. There was a tail or its head. It was like it was stuck out of the trunk. And off we went. We got to Oklahoma City, went through the turnpike there, and I said, I don't have a cord. And he said, I don't either. And so we just kept going. And I thought, oh, this is not a very good way to start a trip, and we're going to Mexico. Dad, what's all these lights that's blinking? He said, don't worry about it. I can't roll down the window. He said, I'll get it down for you. And here we went. We drove all the way down to Culiacan. And I remember that trip. We come home and it was cold. It was his birthday. And I looked down at his feet. And he had on these old dusty shoes. And I thought of how many times that he's been out and around and done many things for many people. And it's his birthday. So Dad, come on, me and you's going to Olive Garden. We're going to have us a big meal. We're going to have us a good time. And you know, we went that whole trip. And it got so bad when we got back here to Guthrie. Those windows, it was so cold. The windows was coming down by themselves and we were holding them up. But we made it back. Got down there and I didn't know. I thought we were coming home in just a few days. And I was ready to come home. And he said, well, the meeting don't begin until Thursday. And we'd already been there several days. Well, it really don't. Thought, well, here I am, Lord. I can't do one thing. I can't even put gas in the car. I didn't know how to open. There's a certain wire you pull. I can't put fuel in the car. I can't roll down the windows. There's all these lights blinking. But I know you're going to help us. And help us He did. You know, when you think about how futile our efforts sometimes are. And we think, boy, we're just really not very efficient here. We're really not much. I think about what it says in Corinthians, that he takes the weak things, and he takes the small things, and he takes things that confounds the mighty, and he takes those things and he uses them to the glory of God. You all don't have to fight in this battle tomorrow. You just position yourself in a place of prayer, and I've got a few hailstones that I've been storing up. And I'm going to drop them. And I have a few wasps over here that has some long stingers on it. And with all their armor and their chariots and their horses, I'm going to send out a little swarm of hornets on them this time. And I think about those much less things that we look at and say, what about just a little ram's horn and a little picture and a little lamp? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. How about those little things like that? And he takes that 300 men and he uses them. I say we need to be like Elijah or Elisha said, open this young man's eyes. Open his eyes. Help him to see that there's more of them, more of us than of them. God help us today. The much more language of this child of God. Let's determine in our life today that we're going to be a much more than a much less. Another song that came to my mind, it says, and I don't even know all the words to it, says, more, more, so much more. Oh, I know I didn't help you very much, but that's about all I can think of it. But it's just more, more, so much more. We are surrounded, dear ones, today with a cloud of witnesses. We have so many things. I don't have much money, Lord, but I have you. And to me, that's all that matters. Though the world might not see, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Oh, I appreciate the word of God here. He said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Let's pocket that today. Let's take that home with us. How much more? I have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Lord, I have this and I have that. How much more? Does our Heavenly Father care for us? And He's able to give us. I tell you today, we need to be encouraged. We need to ask God to help us to be much more people. Much more dependent on God, much less dependent on ourselves. But have the mindset. Well, I hope I don't embarrass Sister Dina too much, but you know, she was a sister that never did things in a small way. Never did. She'd go to the store and buy something. Muy grande. It was big. Big. Everything. And she goes to adopt some children. She got 4 of them. Not one of them. Somebody said, you lost all chances of ever getting married. It's all right with her. She said, this is my family. She did things in a big way. It was always jumbo. Do you all remember? Well, no, most of you don't, but some of you older ones do. When you went to the drive-in before, you had strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla. And you had a large or a regular and a small. Things were simpler then. We didn't, growing up in the Bell household, that, you know, we did the regular. In fact, when you bought gasoline, what was the 2 types of gasoline? Now listen, you all listen carefully. Someone in the audience is going to say, the 2 types of gasoline you could get. Regular and ethyl. And that's what we named 2 of our goats that we had, regular and ethyl. But that was the only 2 kinds of gasoline, regular and ethyl. If you wanted ethyl, you got the high octane. That was the more expensive one. Most people just put regular. Go in and get regular. Fill her up with regular. That's what you told the people. You know, today, there are so many complicated things. So much is complicated today, but thank God for the simple things of life. I want us to think about today, thinking about when we pray, when we call upon God, think about the much mores. Instead of just thinking about what I can barely get by with, think of the much mores. When Elijah came to that woman and he said to her, "I want you to make me a cake first." She said, "I don't have very much. In fact, I'm picking up these few sticks and I'm going to eat the last little bit, and me and my son are going to die." That's the thought process of the much less. This man of God said, "You cook me that cake that you're going to die with first." That'd be hard, but he did. He tested her faith, and sure enough, she did. And sure enough, what happened to that woman? He went back, and that little boy, I can just see them going back. "Mama, there's still some in there." And they poured it out, and they got the little meal, and they cooked another one, and they cooked another one, and another one. And every time they go back, "There's still some in there, Mama." They're probably both wondering, where's that coming from? It was from above. And God had a way of providing it. The much lesses. Folks, we got to discount those much lesses. We got to put, when we pray, we got to think, "Lord, what are you trying to do? Am I praying with just my own strength and what I think that can be provided? Or am I praying and looking to you to open your storehouse?" God surely has something for us today. Much less seems on the surface to be far more reasonable than much more. On the surface, it does. I don't know if you've ever been put in a place where you're really depending on God to provide and to help you and take care of you, but I have watched the Lord. I have seen Him do that for us so many times. Brother Murphy Allen one time showed up at our place, and he had that cancer, had eaten his nose almost completely off. And his lip, it was down in his lip. And he showed up at our house one time, had no idea what we were going through, hadn't told no one. And he said, "Brother James, I just feel like having prayer with you." And we went into my garage and knelt down and had prayer. And as he was praying, I saw this little vision of a bird's nest. And I know you all get tired. I mean, I know I'm getting older and I'm forgetful, but I want to tell you, it's so real to me. I can, in my mind's eye, still see that. And there was eggs in that nest. That's all I seen. A nest with eggs in it. And he was a very sober man. But I told him, when I thought, "I don't know how he's going to take this. And I don't ever get these little visions. This is not something I'm used to." And I told him, I said, "Brother Allen, when you was praying, I saw this little nest and there was eggs in it." He said, "Well, whatever laid the eggs can lay some more." And sure enough, it takes 21 days for a chicken egg to hatch. Within 21 days, the Lord provided from an unseen source that I had no idea. And they kept laying those little eggs, just like he said. One preacher said, "Boy, I wished I had one of them." We all do, folks. Don't you understand? This is not something for just me. It's something for every one of us. The language of the much mores, the faith of the much mores, we need that. David, when he went out to face the giant, he realized, you know, there's not just one man there. There's a whole family of those folks. He had 5 stones, and he probably recognize in case some of these other fellows spring up around here and they want to do some battle, I'll get 5 of them. I'm not going to just take one. I'm going to get 5. Because quick as this fellow falls, his brother, his cousin, his son over here, and all them other, they might leap up here and I might need to do more than just one. He was thinking of the much more. Our Heavenly Father thinks of the much more. I believe we should have a better concept. Lord, when we pray, help us to pray the language of the much mores. The folks that can see and not be so intimidated. Have you ever listened to your prayer sometimes? I have thought, did I just pray that? That didn't sound very good. And I'm sure the Lord goes, no, it really didn't. That's all you think of me? You think of me as a 50 cent God? You think of me in just small ways? You think I can just save one person in the family? You think I'm limited here? Not just in financial means. I'm not talking about that this morning. It is the habits, folks, of just praying with a larger thought in mind. Lord, please expand your kingdom. Please do more here than what we're witnessing. Do more here than my simply meeting this person. You're doing something more. Have you ever thought of the energy, a child of God, when there's life in us? Folks, it has, whoever we meet with, there's contacts and there's things that you have no clue what you're doing. You go into a place and you meet a person for the first time. You have no idea where your life and your influence and everything is going to go to. We don't realize it. And sometimes we sit cooped up with the much less mindset. Well, those people, the Bible says, few that be saved. Few that be saved. And we get that mindset and we think, better just stay in today, not do anything. And God is saying to us, if my life is in you, you're not just sharing yourself, you're sharing me. And I have life in me. And what is it going to do with people down the road? What, heaven is going to be full of our influences, our efforts. Sister Faith Stewart, when she looked out on that, got that vision, and she looked out on that ocean, she saw those little hands, those little brown hands and little brown faces reaching out to her. Oh, her mission to Cuba was a step by faith. And she saw that. She saw those little hands and faces waiting for her. How much more are there things, and how many people are waiting for you? How many people are waiting for your touch? How many people are lined up? And if God can just get us to thinking about the much mores, think about what He is doing in our life, the much more, the influences, He'll help us to see there's people that's waiting for you. There's people lined up, young people. It's unbelievable, but there's people in your life that is lined up. They are lined up and they're waiting on you. They're waiting on you to touch them. They're waiting for your influence. They're waiting for your life and your love, and they're waiting on you. Oh, the much more lifestyle is what God desires for His church. The much lesses, it'll keep us in the shadows. Oh, the much mores. Sister Noreen Harmon, I know, and I've told this story too, but her whistle, she loved to whistle, and she would hang her laundry out and she whistled. She didn't know her neighbor lady was listening to her. And when they went to move, she said, oh, I'm going to miss you hanging out your laundry. I'm going to miss your whistles. Your touch. I can't do it like you can do it. There's places God has designed you to be. And I can't do it like you can do it. You can't do it like I can. But you have a special touch. Every one of us. God help us today to find the place God can use us in life. I'd like to read in the book of Hebrews. I was looking at this morning and thinking about it last night. These scriptures and thoughts have been going over and over in my mind. 9 and 14 of Hebrews. I'll start with the 13th verse. Listen to this, please. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. Now listen, these are the much lesses. But this was what God had planned. The blood of bulls and goats. It had its purpose. It had its place. But there were things that it lacked. And here's what it says. They sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. They have a outward show. They had their means and it done what we could do at the time. But he said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more? The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It could do certain things, but it couldn't do the whole thing. But he's saying now here, we've got a means of doing the whole thing. We're not going to come in part way and just do a part-time job and a little scratch and a little cover up and a little paint and a little dauble here. And no, we've got a work to do. And where is he going to do it? On our conscience. He's going to work down in our innermost being. He's going to get down and he's going to purge some things out of our life. Much more. Not in a small way, but much more. He's going to get down to where he works on our quirks. I didn't know what a quirk was, but my dear brother-in-law told me, here's a quirk. Here's one of you carpenters. No, it's that little thin, that little reveal, this little line here. This one is just a little bit off, but it's a lot better than I could do. This is beautiful. It's that little line. There's that little gap. But what if this gap was big? What if it started off maybe like a door I'd put on my chicken coop? It'd start off big and you'd see this door sagging. You'd think, wow, that's really off. You know, some of us, if we examine ourselves, we might say, oh, that looks pretty good. But the Lord comes by and says, no, I've got something here. I'm going to tighten up the tolerance. There's something here that's just a little bit off, but it's off far enough that I can see it. And I want to work with you on that. He wants to work with us on the little quirks we have, the little places, the little defects and things in our life. How much more? Well, I tell you, he'll go all the way with us. He'll begin to work from top to bottom. He'll do things in our life and transform us from an unprofitable servant, an unprofitable person that was steeped in themselves, that was hung up on themselves, that had all kinds of attitudes. He'll begin to work on those things. Just come along with me. Be patient with yourself. That's one of the big things. Sometimes we think, Lord, whip me up in a Guthrie camp meeting and get me all ready for heaven, and I want to just shine and shower and be on my way and everything's just fine. The Lord says, well, hop in, son. We got a few miles to go. There's probably a lot more that I need to work on than they think about. They're really aware of. But if you'll hang with me, I'll work out some quirks in your life and I'll work out some of the parts that's unprofitable. I'll dig about your trees. We heard yesterday, I'll prune and I'll work and I'll make something out of an unprofitable person. And that's what we want. Profitable. We want to be profitable for God. We want him to purge. Purge is flushing out, getting rid of, and getting things out in refrigeration. If you have a system that has air in it, it's not so noticeable on an air conditioning system, but when you get in refrigeration and when you start talking about low temperatures, it's very critical that you get down to the micron, that you get down to 25 microns of an inch of relieving, getting rid of any of the moisture that's in that system. Because what happens, that moisture travels and it would get right to the place where there is a pressure difference and freeze right there. It'll stop the flow. And in our life, there's things that I believe He's taken us from a high temperature, and you got by there and I winked at it. But I'm going to work with you down to a place of much, much less. And we're going to go through some places here now. Our tolerance has got to be right. We have got to get everything vacuumed and purged out. I know in systems where there was lots of contaminants, you would run a cleaner through that system and you would run that through there and catch it out the end, sometimes recycle part of it and go back through till you get all the contaminants purged out. God does the same way with us. The much less mindset, some of the things in life that we have grown accustomed to, God wants to purge. He wants to get those out of us. So, what did He say here? Here's the thing that cleans us. It's the much more. It is the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience. Purge. He begins to do a work on us. Folks, if we're not changing and if we're not progressing, we're stale. And if we're stale, it means that somehow we've stopped the process ourselves. We've got into such thinking that somehow God can't work through us and do things. And He really wants to work in our life. I have something wrote down here that I want to share with you. First of all, I have just a few more scriptures here to read. This one in Hebrews 9 and 14 takes everyone. It's the focal point. This, how much more shall the blood of Christ? This is the focal point. This is what we look at. This is what we see. We open the book of Hebrews and we begin to see the blood of Christ. What a beautiful thing. It's endeavoring to purge out the much lesses out of our life. Channel those down and out they go. Lord bless us today. Romans, the 5th chapter. Another beautiful scripture here, the 5th chapter of Romans, the 20th verse. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The law entered to make sin exceedingly sinful, to make it obvious, to make it, here it is. The law came along and it says, this is wrong. Paul said, I was alive once, but he said, when I saw that, he said, I died. I got caught. I looked and here it was. The law had its purpose. But look here. He says, the law entered, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I want us to think today the much mores, the much more of grace. How it is able much more to transform our life. How it is able much more to keep us from evil. There's just so much more. It's wonderful. Thank God for that today. Grace did much more abound. I hope today that we can be blessed in our life and we can understand the dealings of God. 2 Kings 13, 17 and 18. I'll just quote some of this. Half-hearted Joash. The man of God said, take out some arrows and beat on the ground with them. And he went three times, half-hearted, thinking of much less. What does this old man think he's doing? That's all. And the prophet came back and he said, you should have beaten several times on the ground. You should have kept on thumping it, because every time it shows your intensity. It shows that you have faith in God. It shows that we can do it. And he just, three times and that was it. Half-heartedness, much less. You see where that's taking us? We're not getting anywhere. Just that kind of a much less attitude, it gets us nowhere. We don't go very far when it comes to advancing spiritually. We just have this half-heartedness. Thump on the ground three times, that's it. And he was watching his actions because he was looking into his heart. He was looking at something. This man couldn't see it. Joash couldn't see it. But the man of God was watching him. Your half-heartedness is the reason you have not got anywhere spiritually. It's the reason we are not progressing. We stay in our same little circle. Folks, we got to think about much more. There's much more to do. There's much more land to conquer. There's many more things, many places, and my talents can be used much more. We have the blood of Christ. It's much more. We have so many things. The grace of God is much more. We have all these things combining and helping us. Let's think in a way of much more. We've been reigned over by thousands of things. The fear of man. Watch this. Be careful. The fear of man. Peculiar temperaments. You know, sometimes we bring into the service of God our peculiar temperaments, and we think those are the most holy. Those are right. My temperaments. Do you know, sometimes in... I picked on myself, so let me just share it. I think when we become a trustee, do you know there is things that we've got to watch, that I just don't take my little way of handling my home business and try to run church business? Do you know sometimes that can be a detriment? You know, we have to be thinking about much more. We have to be, and it sometimes cramps us because you think, I don't think I can... But we got to be thinking about much more. You see, our temperaments and things we were born with. And I mentioned these little quirks. Those things can impede the work of God. We have to be careful, because God wants us to be thinking about how much more. How much more. Our outward circumstances, we get reigned over sometimes by those things. Well, I know how much I got. I know how much I can spend. And I know how much we're able to do. Why do you think he whittled it from 30,000 to 300? Why do you think with Gideon he looked out and said, you watch those people that lap like a dog, and you watch those people that kneel, and you watch and watch. And he said, you weed those out. Those, I want people that are just completely inadequate. I want to get the glory from this. God help us today. Our environment and bad weather and irritable tempers, some of those things get the best of us sometimes. Sit down in church. Boy, I wish it'd stop raining. I'm telling you, I get so tired of this thing. Last year was saying, boy, I wish it'd rain. I don't know. We have these irritable tempers sometimes. And, oh, I wish these children would be quiet. I don't know why. You know what? There's been one time in 30-some years that I had to stop preaching because of children. And there was a pretty good brawl going on when I had to stop. But it didn't last long, thank the Lord. And they got calmed down and they just kept, thank the Lord for the children. It means new life. I'm glad for everyone. Ever cry. I mean, there's sometimes, I know, you think, well, you don't hear them so much. That's because you're sitting on the back row. If you just move up corner, you wouldn't. People, you don't speak loud enough. And it's because I can move the pulpit halfway to the back of the church. And you might hear me. It's where you're sitting. Move them. We can come with an irritable temper. We can have all these things going on if we're not careful. These things begin to reign over us. They begin to get the upper hand of us, folks. And God wants to help us to have much more grace. I know one lady, what she does is she brings all those noisy children something to snack on after church. She's got a crowd lined up of little children. They know that when they see Aunt Jeannie, they're going to get something. Where's that candy woman? Some of them don't even know her. Where's that candy woman? And here they're just lined up down her bench. Here they come. Think of much more. We think of just getting by. But think of much more. What can I do? How can I lend a little part? What can I do? It's like the woman one of the wars. She saw these young men starting to march off, and she got her a stick, an old grandma, and she got her a stick. And she starts off, and they said, "You can't do that." She said, "Well, at least they'll know whose side I'm on." She had her stick, and she was going out there, an old grandma. How much more? I mean, what do we need, folks? Do you know one of the things that when they question the British Army, what do you fear about these people over there you're going to face? Is it those Continental armies and all these great powers in there? No, we didn't fear that. Was it their genius? No, it wasn't that so much either. Well, what did you fear? He said it was the Minutemen. It was those men that come out of the bush and they'd have a gun or a club and you never knew where they was coming from. And you could get them roused up in a moment's time. And here they'd come, clubs and guns and knives, and that's the folks you needed to fear. And that's what they're most afraid of, the Minutemen. God help us today to have more, that He's looking for more Minutemen. People that they don't look like have to have much, but just get them going and give them a few things, and here they are. They're a force to be reckoned with. I want to tell you, when God, a man with God behind him is a pretty dangerous thing. God appeared to Moses, said, "What do you have in your hand?" He said, "I've got a rod." He didn't say, "Moses, I'm going to take all your years of living there among those people and all your education and everything, and I'm going to take that and we're going to use a tactical force and we're going to outmaneuver these people, the Egyptians, and get you out of there." And he said, "No, Moses, what do you have in your hand?" And he said, "Well, I have a rod. Throw it down." He did, and it became a snake. And it'd be just like me and you. He took off. "No, go by, pick it up by the tail." And when he did, it became a rod again. And what happened with that rod? It was insignificant, wasn't it? But you couldn't have bought that rod after that happened to it for any kind of money. You couldn't have bought that rod when he used that and stretched it out across that Red Sea. That rod meant something. God was in that. He was in that. What do you have on hands this morning? "Well, it's, all I have is a rod." Throw it down. What's he looking for today? What is he looking for, folks? Is he just trying to get just the prime people that's smart and educated and that know everything and are able just... I'm thankful for them. If we didn't have one like Paul, where would we be today? I'm thankful for everyone. Don't misunderstand me. I love people that have the abilities and they're able to figure things out and able to do things. I rely on them. Help me out. Help me here. I don't know how to use this phone. Can you help me? I don't know how to. But I want to say to us, young and old, You are significant. You have potential. You are of the much more society. Claim it. Lord, I'm going to be much more for you. It's not what I can't do, but it's what I can do. I'm going to be like grandma. I'm going to pick up a stick and I'm going to go off and I'm going to, at least they'll know which side I'm on. If you can write letters, if you can speak and cheer people up, you're thinking now the much more. Much more. Lord, let this mind be in us, which was in Christ Jesus. He was able to keep going forward. We've been slaves where we ought to have been kings. We let unbelief cheat us out. We have substituted our much lesses for God's much mores. And you know, this morning I believe with all my heart, God wants to give us much more. Much more. Think jumbo. Think grande. Think big. Big. You go to buy something, and I thought, you know, usually you buy the cheapest one. Sometimes God wants us to think, and always the cheapest isn't the best. Because the cheapest wears out in about 6 months, and the best would took you 2-3 years. Our mindset, our mind, God wants to purge the thoughts of our mind. He wants us to, especially when it comes in living for Him. And Lord, what do you have in mind for me? What do you have in mind? It would scare us if we really could see God's will. It would frighten us. What do you have in your hand? And He's looking for that today. What do you have in your hand? Not what you don't have, it, what your friend has, but what do you have in your hand? I believe we would probably look and say, if I knew that I was going to do that, if I knew that, oh my. Just recently I was asked to say a prayer, and they said, well, the lieutenant governor is going to be there. Here we go again, Lord. Maybe I'll be sick that day. I'll just tell him I can't do it. You know what? The Lord is saying to us, stop that kind of thinking. Look to me. Think about things that I can help you with. Is this all about you anyway? That I, me, my, myself? Is it? Ooh, and I thought, no, it's not. Well, then go. It's not what you don't have. It's what you, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. You take that with you when you go in difficult places. I'll be with you. Do you realize today, folks, the winds and the waves still know His voice? What He spoke years ago, and He said, peace be still. Those winds and waves are listening, and they can hear that, and they obey Him still today. In 2015, the winds and the waves obey Him. They know His voice. God takes the weak things of this world, and He confounds the mighty. He can do things with us if we have the mind, if we have let this blood of Christ purge our dead works, purge our conscience, and get this thinking out of our life. He's able to do this. He's able to help us. I want to challenge you today, young and old, there's no telling what God can do. It's no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you with arms wide open. He'll pardon you. It's no secret what God can do. I want to spread around the much more today. The much more abilities. And I don't want to let things rule over me. I want to let God have His way in my life. I hope that every one of us here today has that desire. Lord, much more. much more. I'm going to open the windows of my heart. Lord, much more. I don't want to be trapped and stuck in a little cubicle in life and fed beans and just little meager portions, but I want everything that God has for me in life. So I can't get you out of your corner. It's only God that can. But I'm saying much more will get you out. Much less will keep you in. Less apply for much more. Amen. Pray for me.